In the mid-50s, two men knocked over a kerosene stove during a fight at a concert. After fleeing the blaze, the guitar player realized he left his beloved Gibson inside. B.B. King then ran in and saved it. He later learned that the fight was over a woman named Lucille, and ever since, his guitars have borne that name. You can find Lucille at the Hard Rock in Hollywood, Florida. Thousands of other priceless pieces of rock history can be found at Hard Rock cafes, casinos, and hotels around the world. To learn more, visit hardrock.com.
Little Steven's Underground Garage's coolest conversations, presented by Hard Rock Cafe, hosted by the Mighty Manfred.
This is the Mighty Manfred here in Little Steven's Underground Garage, and it's time for another Coolest Conversations podcast presented by Hard Rock. Thanks for listening, and please remember to follow and subscribe, rate, and review. Joining me today is Brian Ray, lead guitarist in the Los Angeles-based band The Bayonets, who counts as his day job playing in Paul McCartney's touring band, while he also pursues a solo career, the fruits of which include his new single, Got a New Thing, out on Wicked Cool Records. It's a recent coolest song in the world. We'll listen to some of it now, and then I'll have Brian on the line with me for our Coolest Conversations podcast presented by Hard Rock here in Little Steven's Underground Garage. Manfred here with you in Little Steven's Underground Garage as we get our coolest conversations underway. And my guest today is Brian Ray, who, in addition to being a solo artist and one half of the Bayonets, is also a guitar slinger in Paul McCartney's band. How are you, Brian?
I'm good, Manfred. How you doing, man?
I'm doing all right. I'm hanging in there. And I want to congratulate you on lucky number 13, because this is your 13th coolest song in the world between your solo releases and the Bayonets. Your latest Got a New Thing came out, what was it, just last Friday, November the 13th. So is 13 normally your lucky number?
It isn't, but I'll take it. usually I'm more of a sevens and multiples of sevens kind of guy, like 7, 21, 28, 14. But no, this is, what an amazing, I didn't even realize this until yesterday, this is my 13th coolest song in the world, and with the new song being released on the 13th, that's a lot of mojo right there.
It is a lot of mojo. Now, it's not Seventh Son necessarily, but it may be on par. It may be on par, so we can't take it for granted. Let me ask you this now. Have your friends and family managed to remain healthy over these last weeks and months?
Yeah, so far, knock wood, everyone's okay. And my family, everyone's doing their best out there to, you know, live with safe practices. But, you know, we're under siege right now. It's worse than ever right now. So it's a major concern. And I hope the same is true for you guys, that you've been all safe.
Yeah. Well, thank you for asking. Let me ask this. Do you have just a plain black mask, or is yours a bit more decorative?
I have a variety, Manfred. I've got this one that looks like a Western kerchief, but then it also has sort of these ear loops that go over your ears so it stays up. And then I have some N95s, and I have some more plain black ones. But what's your favorite mask? What's your favorite one you're wearing?
Well, I'm going to tell you, but first I'm thinking about you and your kerchief and thinking you are kind of having this desperado look when you have that on. Do you look like a desperado with that?
I hope so. You know.
Well, I'll tell you what, my mask, I have a plain black mask for plain everyday things. You know, when I'm running errands around town, you know, not as many errands as to run before, but that's my plain one. And then my fancy pantsy mask has got kind of like these, it's like a tiki mask, but not like a physical tiki mask. You know, it's like little representations of tikis on a cloth mask, because a full-on wooden mask, tiki mask, would not be effective in preventing the spreading, you know, the getting of COVID, you know. So I don't recommend actual tiki masks, but cloth masks with representations of tikis, that of course flies, you know.
Yes, the actual African or tiki masks do not prevent the spread of COVID.
Yeah, they can scare evil spirits, but a lot of the germs, they don't pay attention to spirits, you know. It's weird.
COVID don't care, Manfred. COVID don't care. It don't scare easy.
I tell you, absolutely. Right there, you got a new hit song about the COVID.
Yeah.
That's right in, it's buried in there. Well, back earlier this year in June, you released a version of the Willie Dixon tune I Ain't Superstitious, back with Spellbreaker, the A-side featuring lead vocals from noted vocalist Gia Chambody, and the B-side, a tune that you share writing credit on with our very own Michael DeBar. And now you're back with a brand new single, Got a New Thing, backed with Whiskey Train. Was the new one recorded at the same session as the earlier release?
No, it was not. This song, Got a New Thing, was written entirely during lockdown. I started it in January, and it started as a seed of just the riff, you know, and then it built from there, and then the lyrics started taking shape. But no, this one was done all on its own, separately, around the same time as I was working on the Whiskey Train.
And so where did you record this then?
That's a very good question, Manfred. I'm going to tell you the answer now. The answer is, I recorded it right here at Bad Manners Studio, my home.
And you call your home studio Bad Manners?
Yes, M-A-N-O-R-S. Oh, I'll go a long way for a gag. But yeah, so my preferred way of recording is live people in a room having fun, joking around, kicking around different arrangement ideas and collaborating and try this. Oh, what if we did this? You know, and then laughing the whole time. That's my preferred way. But during lockdown, there's another way to do it. And most of your audience would know about this, but some wouldn't. I mean, with today's computers, you can record like a professional studio would have 40 years ago, all in a laptop now.
Yeah.
But it does require some care and skill and those kinds of things. And I'll usually start with just a guitar, a guide guitar, and a click track. And then I'll do sort of fake drums myself before replacing my fake drums with a real drummer. So that's the only outside person that I've involved in some of my more recent recordings. Mm-hmm. In this case, I had Scott Schreiner from Weezer come over and put down a real bass after I put down a guide bass, which was a big joy. He's a dear friend of mine and played and sang his heart out. And then we sent that over to Abe Laboriel Jr. from McCartney's band. And he did his parts in Ithaca, New York. So we've sort of a new way of recording a new thing.
Well, about the song, you said you wrote it, you know, back in January as we're beginning to head into the whole lockdown world. What's his inspiration? I mean, did you get yourself a new thing?
Yes, I got a beautiful new thing. I've got a lovely girlfriend named Mandy, and I'm delighted with her. We're having a great time, and we've known each other for many, many years, but have just really, you know, bonded. And so, yes, I did get a new thing. And this song, as you may have read, is my sort of, it's sort of like garage rock is really good at sort of you're going to get yours kind of sentiment, you know, like a revenge-enging sort of sentiment. And in this case, I was looking at where we are in this sort of this moment that we're in with the Me Too generation, that we've seen so many women being abused. And then we see some of these brave victims come forward and tell their story. we see like people like Epstein, Weinstein get taken away in handcuffs. And finally, the song imagines the victims going on with their life, i.e. a new thing. And that's sort of where it came from. And, you know, that's where it's at. If people want to assign some other meanings to my lyrics, they're free to do so.
Like maybe a political bent to it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, if somebody were to go out on a limb and say, you know, that sounds like somebody else I've heard of who's also been accused of sexual assault, well, that could apply to them, too.
I love the lyric in there, lock you up, something I'm paraphrasing now, something about lock you up with handcuffs and brushing you off with dandruff, you know, it's just great. You know, I thought those were really cool. It makes me smile and sort of helps bring you into the song, too. You know, it gives you an extra, you know, when the lyrics are locked in to a cool groove and riff, you know, everything just is reinforced and it just.
Exactly. That's so true. Lyrics are so, so important. And a lot of artists that are really good arrangers, writers, and players, and they know, say, to music technically, you know, arrangement stuff. But the lyric in popular music is key. It's everything. And this was fun because I started going down the road of a certain lyric and a certain kind of cadence to the verse. And then all of a sudden, I had this idea to do this device where you kind of tease the listener with a word, then you add to the word, and then you add another word, then it flips and changes meaning. And it goes, I want to watch you. I want to watch you walk. So you're going like, ooh, this is sexy. I want to watch you walk away in handcuffs. What? In handcuffs. Chromium handcuffs. And when we're done, we're going to brush you off like dandruff. So it's sort of like a tension and release.
Yes. Yeah. Very well thought out. Well, but orange going together like Elvis and Kung Fu. Do you practice any martial arts?
I do not, Manfred, but I may have to start when people start listening to this song.
You're a lover, not a fighter, aren't you, Brian?
I'm a lover, not a fighter, Manfred, much like yourself.
Absolutely. I was thinking we'd be in trouble because normally I tell people, don't worry, I'll go and get help. You stay here. But we'll be racing to get help together, I guess, you know.
It's so funny you would say that. Both Abe and Scott Schreiner, who appear on this record, the only other two people on it, it's a power trio, have through the years at different times both said, I'll kick that guy's ass if he comes near you, right? So I do feel like, you know, I can kind of mouth off when I'm surrounded by these two. These two magnificent men.
Well, you know what? I've always felt empowered myself, thinking, well, there ain't no man that's bigger than me if he's got his back to me and I got a good, stiff, strong piece of wood in my hand, you know?
I like that.
Yeah. So, hey, no martial arts for you. Do you have a favorite Bruce Lee movie?
No, I don't. But, man, what a life. What is yours? Give me a couple to choose from.
Oh, like Enter the Dragon, I guess, is a great one, I think.
No doubt.
Well,
I'll
was
have to check that out again. It's only been about 30 years since I've seen it. I'll have to check it out again.
Yeah. So let me ask, that was leading me. I was wondering about the Quentin Tarantino movie, you know, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. You grew up here in Southern California. Specifically tie into Bruce Lee was what you, I was going to say, what'd you think of his portrayal in that movie? I know it's been out, you know, for a while now, but since you grew up out here, what did you think about Once Upon a Time in Hollywood?
You know, I loved the film. I saw it with Mandy. We were in her hometown of Arizona, and there was, it was a lightly attended that at that showing. And we felt like we could really just kick back and, you know, eat popcorn and junk food with M&Ms in it. And I just really loved that film. I thought it was a real love letter to Los Angeles by Quentin Tarantino. You know, I hope he's got another great one in him, but that was so great. I mean, they got it so right, didn't they, with the cars and Sunset Boulevard and Laurel Canyon and you know, the ranch out there. And, oh, man, it was all so good, you know. It was all so well done. I thought that the acting was superb. And, you know, it's the kind of, again, the kind of, it's the garage rock of films. He's very garage, isn't he, Quentin Tarantino? Because most of his movies do include that kind of avenging of a wrong being done, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, in fact, soundtrack-wise, soundtrack all very cool, and I really enjoyed a lot of Paul Revere and the Raiders, because I always feel like those guys get a lot of short shrift in rock writing, and it's easy to forget that, you know, especially when they were hooked up with Terry Melcher, that was some really great sounding, not only good songwriting, but just great sounding recordings. Back to the single. It's been out a week now. Are you playing, going to do any like these online streaming gigs to support it?
I haven't planned any yet, but you know, I would consider it. Sure, I'm happy to do it. I haven't planned any yet. I'm sort of in more of a lockdown mode and haven't really participated in too many of the online. Here I am playing my song, and there's that other box with the other guy playing my song with me. I'm not sure that in my mind, I mean, I know the audience wants some content from us, and that's understandable. And at the same time, I just haven't found my way to doing it, you know. But I'll tell you what, Sheryl Crow has been doing a great job with those.
Well, you've done a lot of really cool videos, things that, you know, have a pretty straight up storyline, like as though if you're on a game show or just in the studio kind of stuff. What's the give us an idea of what the point of view is? What's the framework of the new video?
Well, the new one is sort of a takeoff on the iPod commercials that Apple put out in the early, I guess, 2000s. When you had people rocking out with the music going in the background,
yeah,
with their you know, earbuds in, and basically two colors, just the earbuds, a silhouette, and a background color, very stark, and so we're doing a takeoff on that, but then we take it kind of further than that. And Scott and Abe are appearing in it, as are James and John, my lovely nephews. Yeah, check it out on YouTube. So it goes by the same title as the song, Got a New Thing by Brian Ray.
Yeah, man. Now, since we didn't speak earlier this year, when your single came out, your version of I Ain't Superstitious, let me ask you about that tune a little bit. So did you come to that song via Jeff Beck?
Yeah, it's interesting, Manfred. I mean, so Jeff Beck's first album, Truth, was sort of my guitar Bible. That was like, I loved all the guys that everybody loves, and all the guitar players that informed the British Invasion guys that we all know and love. But when Jeff Beck Truth dropped, it was just like a next level for me. And I still get happy when I hear that music. And, when I hear that band and that producer in that room, that moment, playing those songs, and our first introduction to Rod Stewart. So that song, Willie Dixon's penned I Ain't Superstitious, was recorded by them and closed out the Jeff Beck Truth album. And I adored it so much. And to me, it was sort of the pinnacle of that record and a closing track. And it was so great. And I've always been fascinated with it and his guitar tones and everything about it. So I wanted to do an homage to him, but at the same time, keeping in mind that it was written by the great Willie Dixon, who also was, well, a bit like Paul McCartney. He was a producer, a writer, an artist, a bass player, played a bit of piano too, and a record exec. So he was an arranger and all of those other things. And I can't think of another artist who covered as many bases as he did. So to honor him, we went back to the original lyric and pulled forward some of the lyrics that Rod Stewart passed on that day. And we pulled those into the song. So it's sort of a hybrid. It sounds like Jeff Beck's version, sort of the same palette and the same ideas and the same vibe, but it has some of Howlin' Wolf and Willie Dixon's original words.
So now mentioned Willie's kind of parallels there with Paul McCartney. I had also mentioned or reminded folks you play in Sir Paul's band. Have you ever met Jeff Beck?
Yeah, a couple of times. Yeah, he being a friend of Paul McCartney, and you know, it's such a nice side note to my years with Paul is the many people I've been able to been so lucky to meet, and he's one of them. And yeah, true gent. Met him in the loo once. That's for you if you don't know. That's English for the bathroom. And another time backstage at a show, and he's just a real gent, soft spoken. As you know, he loves his cars, so he's all about his hot rod cars. If he's not under a car, he's got a guitar on his shoulder. So he literally plays guitar like 7 hours a day, I hear.
Oh, man. Well, so do you mean he plays more guitar each day than you do or less?
Quite a bit more, Manfred, like substantially more guitar than I play.
So that single, I Ain't Superstitious, the B-side to that, is Spellbreaker, and that has got Michael DeBar on it, our very own MDB on there, and he shares co-writing credit on that with you. Now, first of all, what was it like working with Michael?
Well, it was fantastic. We had so many laughs, and really, you're catching a theme here. I need to laugh. We all need to laugh, especially in these times. So we had some good laughs, and funny enough, that B-side, I Ain't Superstitious, was rewritten. It was a completely different song initially, and well, we ended up thinking that we might have an even better idea. And I came to him and I said, what about this idea? You know, through the years, through history of media, in books and film, we've always revered these bad boys, you know, Steve McQueen and Marlon Brando and Rudolph Valentino. We've always loved these people. They're sort of like mythological creatures. But what if the singer imagines himself as the one that breaks the spell that those guys have cast? Yeah. So it's just a fun sort of garagey idea.
Well, I was going to ask you about how it came together. So together you guys developed that idea. Is that right?
Well, the Spellbreaker idea I came up with, and then the meat of the lyrics done, and pulled them up, and we laughed our heads off finishing them. And he gave up some great ideas, and, you know, we just collaborated. That's what collaboration is, you know.
Well, two singles so far this year. This 2020, thank goodness, is almost over. But what's the plan for 2021? An album? More singles? What's the horizon?
You know, I'm not sure yet. I'll have to talk to Steven about that. Little Steven has been so generous with his time and his energy, and he's always calling to say, why don't you try this in the intro? Oh, you know, I'm not doing a very good impression of Steven, but I'm going to just go with it. So bear with me. And, you know, he has been just an incredible, well, in the business, we call it an A&R man in record company lore, and that's artist and repertoire. And he has truly been that for me, and a great champion of my work since the first time he, you know, picked up Sucker for Love so many years ago.
So how is your buddy from the Bayonets, Oliver Lieber, doing these days? Do you keep much in touch with him?
Yeah, we were just talking. We've been working on a little something, and he's been producing other acts, as he usually does. He's doing fine.
Very cool. So maybe a Bayonets thing in 2021?
You never know, Manfred. You just don't know. We don't know in this world what is coming next, but I would say stay tuned to Manfred, and he'll tell you the news.
Well, I'm right. I'm next to the shortwave. I'm ready to pick up the frequency whenever you're ready to broadcast that. And Sir Paul, as we're running down a list here, you know, we're all separated, but we managed to keep in touch as best we can with people. How about Paul McCartney? How's he faring?
You know, he's doing just fine. He sent me a text the other day saying, you know, hey, Brian, how are you? And I won't try to imitate his voice. I'll just spare you that. The Brits love it when Americans do British accents. I can just tell you that.
But, oh, yeah, they especially do. What is the best one? The Mary Poppins, Dick Van Dyke. That's what I hear.
Yeah, that,
when they say he sounds like a regular Dick Van Dyke. It's not a that's not a positive thing, you know.
That's right. If they say you sound like a Dick or a Dyke, that's what they're talking about. But yeah, Paul's doing great. In his text, he told me that he's been working on a new album while he's been in lockdown, and he said I think he said something like rock down the lockdown or something like that. And yeah, he's got a new solo album that's coming out, I think, soon. I'm not going to announce it for him, but I think he already has announced it. But yeah, McCartney 3, the third only McCartney titled solo album, all Paul. So that should be really exciting. We all love Paul records when it's all Paul.
All Paul. In fact, that should be the album title, All Paul.
Yeah, not a bad idea.
You talk to him about that. Tell him that's my suggestion. I just give it to him freely and openly. So
okay. Well, I'll tell him you said so.
Now, the flip to the new single, Got a New Thing, is Whiskey Train. And on I Ain't Superstitious, you had Gia Chambody singing. But on this one, is it Carla Olson who's singing Whiskey Train?
That's right, Carla Olson. You may have heard of her before from a well-known LA band called The Textones.
Yeah, that was my question. I wasn't sure if it was the same person. How did you guys meet?
Well, I've known her for forever, since the clubbing days in Los Angeles, when she was raging in the clubs and I was with, you know, myriad bands, including Etta James, playing the club scene. So we would just sort of rub shoulders back then. And I got to know her in recent years. And this was a good opportunity for us to finally work together. And she'd been reaching out to me to do a duet of some kind.
Oh, okay.
She reached out and said, I'm thinking of doing an album with a train theme. And I said, ooh, that sounds fun. And she said, would you like to do something with me? I said, sounds good, but what would you have in mind? And she started sending me some various train-themed songs. And I said, those are cool, but what about this one? And I brought up Whiskey Train, a song written by Robin Trower and Keith Reed for Procol Harum. And it was a song that I loved when I was in high school so much that we learned it and did it in my high school party band. And I just thought it would be a fun thing to tackle.
And so the original, of course, the cowbell is very prominent. And there's a cowbell on your version as well, is there not?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
More cowbell than even Christopher Walken can handle. There's so much cowbell.
Thank you. Thank you, Brian. That's exactly where I was wanting to head with that. And yeah, you mentioned Keith Reed writing that with Robin Trower. And I think that Keith Reed guy is an interesting guy. My understanding is that, you know, he was a lyricist working with the band, you know, and a lot of their original material he contributed the lyrics to, but he actually was not in the band. Am I remembering that right?
That's correct. Yeah, he was simply a lyricist.
Kind of
sort of like Bernie Taupin is and was for Elton John.
John, right. And I'm also thinking of that in Cream, the guy that worked with Jack Bruce, Pete Brown, sort of similar to that.
Oh, part. Wow.
Like White Room and SWLABR and Scrapyard. Is it Scrapyard of Your Dreams? And God, there's a whole host, you know, I say a host, but a lot of Jack Bruce's materials all written with this Pete Brown guy.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, some of that more psychedelic imagery from Disraeli years and stuff.
Yeah. Brian, thank you so much for speaking with me today on our Coolest Conversations.
Hey, man, it's been a pleasure. It always is, Manfred. I hope you stay safe out there.
And now it is B-side time, and we're going to climb aboard the Whiskey Train from Brian Ray here in Little Stevens Underground Garage.
was Brian Ray with Whiskey Train here in Little Steven's Underground Garage. And singing lead on Brian's version of the Procol Harum song was Carla Olson of the Textones. For Brian, the song serves as a B-side to its latest single out on Wicked Cool Records. This is the Mighty Manfred, and thanks again to Brian for speaking with me on our Coolest Conversations. And thanks also to Olivia Callahan for producing our podcast. Presented by Hard Rock and Little Steven's Underground Garage.
In the mid-50s, two men knocked over a kerosene stove during a fight at a concert. After fleeing the blaze, the guitar player realized he left his beloved Gibson inside. B.B. King then ran in and saved it. He later learned that the fight was over a woman named Lucille, and ever since, his guitars have borne that name. You can find Lucille at the Hard Rock in Hollywood, Florida. Thousands of other priceless pieces of rock history can be found at Hard Rock cafes, casinos, and hotels around the world. To learn more, visit hardrock.com.